Amen. We're so very grateful that God has blessed us with yet another opportunity to come and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. It is just a blessing to be able to come to the end of 2018. I shared with the 8 o'clock service, I asked them, how many of you remember Y2K? Y'all remember that? Some of you went out and bought big blue barrels and filled them with water. Some of you were wondering what was going to happen to your computers, and others of you were wondering what was going to happen at the job, and we were concerned about all sorts of things. And now we're almost 20 years past Y2K. It just doesn't seem possible, but time, as the song goes, is filled with swift transition. And it just means that we just need to be about our Father's business. And so we're just thankful to God. If you can think of no other reason that you are blessed to simply see this day. This day, the final Sunday of 2018. I know that for some of you, there have been some ups and some downs. For some of you, there have been some triumphs, and there have been some tragedies. There's been some things that we just didn't know how we were going to get through. But as we look back, amen, we're able to see that God has brought us to this point. And we're just grateful for His goodness, His loving kindness, and His mercy that He's shown to each and every one of us. We, as we're here this morning, we are all witnesses to the goodness of God. And for that, we can say, thank you, Lord. Amen. Now, since this is the final Sunday of 2018, I think it's only fitting that we all stand. And let's just take a moment to greet one another on this, the last Sunday of 2018. Just for about 2 minutes. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the text that was read in your hearing, Revelation chapter 21. And again, I just want to again read for emphasis, verse number 21 through verse number 27. The Bible says, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was one of pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lamb of God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it, amen, somebody, shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations unto or into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. Good to see Sister Simmons here this morning. Neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but that are they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. I'm going to use as a topic for the lesson this morning, the glorious city. The glorious city. Heaven, the glorious city. Glory can be defined in a number of ways throughout the scripture. However, I believe as it applies to heaven in the text here in Revelation chapter 21, I think there are two words which aptly describe the glory of heaven. One is that it is a place of splendor. And I believe as we go through and look at the descriptions of heaven, it will fortify that thought that heaven is a place of splendor. But it is also a place of honor. You know, there are a lot of places that I would love to go during my lifetime here on this earth. But there are a lot of places I'm not going to be able to go, just not able to go. And there are a lot of places I won't be able to go even if I wanted to go. But the one place that all of us have the opportunity to go to is heaven. And heaven is a place of honor. And so I want to just use the text and let the text give us some examples of why heaven is a glorious city. I believe the first reason it's a glorious city is because we will be in the very presence of God. Look what the text says again in verse number 22 of Revelation 21. The Bible says, and I saw no temple therein. He said, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. When you look back in the history of God's dealing with mankind, God has manifested himself in the presence of man in any number of ways. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 1, God, who at sundry time and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, but hath in these latter days spoken unto us by his Son. God, in times past, he, under the patriarchal age, he spoke to the fathers by the prophets. And then came the Mosaic age, in which he spake to his people through his servant Moses. And then later, God allowed men to build the temple. And the temple was then the dwelling place of God. It represented the presence of God. And the temple was limited to a few. And then as Jesus came to die and his blood was shed, that bought access not just to those that were Jewish by heritage, but by all of us who are children of God, gave us the ability to approach God even in a more closer a realm of being able to have access to God. And not only that, as we now live under the Christian age, God has manifested himself in that when we were baptized, and we received the gift of the Holy Spirit, which lives in this physical temple that God has blessed me with. But there's going to come a time when we are in heaven. There will be no need for a temple. There won't be a need for a dwelling place for God, because heaven itself is God's dwelling place. And when I think about heaven, you know, there's going to be some things that are in heaven and some things that are not going to be in heaven. When I think about heaven, when I get to heaven, there won't be a need for faith, because the faith that I had as I lived on this earth will already have been manifested. I can now see the God that I had faith in. Now I can see the Son that I had faith in. I can see the promise of those things that God had promised me that I had faith in. There won't be another need, any more need for faith. When I get to heaven, there won't be a need for hope, because the thing that I hope for has been manifested. I'm living in that prepared place for a prepared people. There won't be a need for hope. There's no need for faith. There's no need for hope. There's no need for a temple, because we are living within the dwelling place of God. And I'm here to tell you, I just think that's going to be a glorious time. I'm looking forward to being in the very presence of the God who, on so many occasions, sometimes so many sleepless nights, that I laid up in bed and I prayed to him and I asked him for help and I asked him for guidance and I asked him for strength, and now I'm going to be right there in his presence. That's going to be a glorious place. I'll be in the presence of God. Not only is it going to be a glorious place because I'll be in the presence of God, but it's going to be a glorious place because it's going to be a city of light. Look again at what the text says. When we look down to verse number 23, the Bible says, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. He said, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb and the light is the light thereof." It's going to be a city that shines with the glory of God. And you know, I'm here to tell you that if I want to be a part of that city that is one that is characterized by light, not only do I want to be one that is there in the light then, but I need to be one that loves light now. Amen. You know, a lot of folk don't love light. You know, they tell me that in the club, it's dark. Is that right? Boy, almost in unison, halos rose up all over the building. Amen. People don't like light because people want darkness to do some of the things that they want to do. I want you to get John chapter 3 and verse number 19 on the screen, if you will. But I'm here to tell you that if we are going to live in light then, we need to love light now. Look what John said. The same John that speaks of light in Revelation is the same John that speaks of light here in John chapter 3 and verse number 19. He said, "And this is the condemnation." He said that light is come into the world. Jesus was that light. He was a condemnation because Jesus' light, it's truth, and truth exposes things that are wrong. Truth condemns those things that are wrong. But look at what he said, "And men love what? Darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." But I'm here to tell you, if one day you expect to live in the light of heaven, you're going to have to love light right now. No wonder the same John said that in 1 John chapter 1, verse number 6 and verse number 7. He said, "If you walk in the light as he is what? In the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." I'm here to tell you, if I want to live in light, in the light of heaven, I must have a desire to walk in light right now. Light. It's not going to be a place of darkness. It's going to be a place of light. It's a glorious city. And the thing of it, of its glory, it's going to be a glorious city in that you and I will add to the glory of this city. You know, that ought to make you say hallelujah. You know, there are times when I've had the opportunity to visit a beautiful home. And the home, the architecture is perfect. And the furnishings on the inside are beautiful. And the landscaping on the outside is exceptional. And everything about the house is just something that you just look at it and you just think, there's nothing more that could be added to this house. And you know, I think the same thing about heaven. When you think about the fact that the Bible talks about the 12 foundations that are made of precious stones, and when you think of the fact that this heaven is going to have streets that are made with pure gold, and we talked about the fact that the gates are going to be made of pearl and walls of jasper and all the other beauty, you would think that there's nothing more that could be added to the city of heaven. But when I look at the text, look again at what he says. He says again in verse number 23 or 24, and the nations of them which are what? Are saved. They're going to walk how? They're going to walk in the light. They're going to walk in the light. They walked in light on this earth, and now they're ready to walk in light in heaven. And then look what it says. Walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their what? Glory and honor. I'm here to tell you, who are the kings of the earth? Well, I remember Paul, Peter said over in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into light. As beautiful as heaven will be, as wonderful as the gold is, as opulent as the jasper will be, as wonderful as the 12 manners of stones that make up its foundation, you and I will enhance heaven. And you know, that makes sense. No wonder Jesus said, you're the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill. And then he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. If I'm going to bring glory to heaven, I need to be focused on bringing glory to God right now. I'm going to enhance the beauty of heaven. I don't know how that makes you feel. That makes me feel good. I'm going to bring beauty and glory to heaven. I used to think about why would the psalmist say in Psalm chapter 115, 116 and verse number 15, precious in the sight of God is the depth of his saints. I know why it's precious, because God is receiving something precious back, which he's going to use to adorn the heavenly kingdom. And you see, I need to be one that looks at light and recognizes that light is a way that I want to live my life. You can't expect to live in darkness, die, and then expect to be risen up in light. I want you to get Revelation chapter 22. Is it all right if we look at some scriptures this morning? Revelation 22. And looking down to verse number
Looking down to verse number 11. Well, let me start at verse number 7. Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 7. Look at what he said. He said, "Behold, I come quickly." And he said, "Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." And then I want you to go down to look at what it says in verse number 11. See, this is talking about when we die and leave this earth. He said, "He that is unjust, let him be what? Unjust still. And he with this what? Filthy. Let him be what? Filthy still. He that is what? Righteous. Let him be what? Righteous still. He that is holy, let him be what? Holy still." If I want to live and wake up in light, I need to walk in light. You know, a lot of folk are mistaken. The fact that they think they can live their lives any kind of way. Amen. And then one day raise up and they're going to live in heaven. Amen. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. If you're going to live an unjust life, you're going to raise up unjust. If you live a filthy life, you're going to raise up filthy. But if you live a life that is holy, you're going to raise up holy. You live a life that's righteous, you're going to raise up righteous and be ready to contribute light and to contribute glory to the glory of heaven. And then, as I move a little further, look what the text says in verse number 25 of Revelation 21. The Bible said, "And the gates of it shall not be what? Shall not be shut at all by day. For there shall be no night there." You know, another reason that heaven is going to be a glorious city is because it's going to be a city that is safe and secure. You know, there's some people, maybe some of you, who when you go home this evening, you're going to pass through the gates of a gated community. And when you get to the house, you're going to pass through another gate. And then you're going to drive through and you're going to hit the garage door opener. And you're going to drive into the garage. And once you're in and secure, you're going to hit the garage door opener again and the garage is going to come down behind you. And then you're going to walk in and you're going to disable the security system. If you hadn't, there's some of you have it on your phone. You know what's going on at home right now. Amen. And then when you get into the house, you're going to reset the security system so that if anybody tries to come in, you'll know about it. But you know what? You're still not safe. But heaven, the glory of heaven, is that it's going to be a safe city. Gates are never going to close. No one is there that's going to be able to do you any harm. Because this is a city that has been defined and been designed by God. And the Bible said nothing is going to defile this city. Nothing is going to come in and disrupt the peace and the sanctity of this city. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 19 and verse number 20. There's nothing that anyone can do to disrupt the peace that God has designed for this city. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 19, he said, "Lay not up for yourself treasures." Treasures. Upon earth. What is a treasure? A treasure is where my heart is. A treasure is where my desire is. A treasure is where my priorities are. A treasure is where my goals are set to. Jesus said, don't make treasures here upon the earth. Look what he says further. Where moth. You know, I experienced this just the other day. One thing I like about the cold is that I like to wear sweaters. And not just any sweater, I like a good wool sweater. I love the way it feels. when it's cold outside. The other morning, I went into my closet, pulled out one of my favorite wool sweaters. Oh, I've been ready to be sharp that day. Took the wool sweater, put it on, and straightened it up on me, standing in front of the mirror, and all of a sudden, I noticed a moth had hit me right here. And now this wool sweater that I loved so much was now corrupt. On this earth, moth is going to corrupt. Rust can take hold of things and possessions that we own, and all sorts of things can take place. And even though I might have security and feel secure about all my things, a thief can break through and steal. Jesus said, don't put your trust in this earth. Amen. Don't lay your treasures up on this earth. Don't put your hope, don't put your priorities, don't put your goal, don't leave your destination in your mind for this earth. You need to be looking and focusing on heaven. It's a city that no one is going to break through and steal. It's a city where nothing is going to be corrupt and where nothing is going to be destroyed, because it's a master plan community, if you will. When I think about heaven, heaven, if you will, is a city that has been designed according to code, if you will. You know, cities have codes that tell you what things are allowed in the city and what things can be built in the city and what things are not allowed and what things have to be, how you must build things and what are the dimensions in which something must be built. That is all a matter of code. Well, I'm here to tell you that heaven is a city that has been built according to code, and this is a city that was planned before the very foundation of the world. And I want to show you just a few minutes what's not going to be in heaven. When we look back up, a few verses back up in Revelation chapter 21, and if you go back to verse number 8, Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 8, then John talks about some things that will not be in heaven. Look at what he says. He said, first of all, but the fearful. The fearful. What do you mean, Brother Worthy, the fearful? Those who are afraid, those who are ashamed to follow Christ. The fearful. You know, the older preachers used to have a saying, they would say, I would be afraid to be ashamed. And I would be ashamed to be afraid to follow Christ. Don't be afraid to commit yourself to those things that God has committed us to do. He's going to fulfill his commitment, and I just need to fulfill my commitment for the short time while I'm on this earth, because God has a place that's prepared for me. If you will, get Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 28. Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 28 and see what Jesus has to say about this. Jesus wants us to be individuals who are willing to stand up for those things that he would have us to do and have us to be. Matter of fact, go back up to 27. Look what he said. He said, now, what I tell you in darkness, he said, that speak you in what? In light. In other words, what I'm telling you to do, and the context here is that there were many individuals who during this time, they were experiencing persecution. And Jesus was saying, listen, don't worry about the persecution. Don't go underground with living a Christian life. He said, what I tell you in darkness, speak you in the light. What you hear in the ear, he said, preach it on the housetops. Go to the next verse. He said, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. He said, but rather fear him which is able to destroy what? both soul and body in hell. I can't be fearful. Let me stand up for my relationship with God. Let us be proud to wear the name of Christian. Let us be proud to be called God's people and to live like God's people. Because the fearful are not going to make it into heaven. Neither are the unbelieving. Again, in Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 8, John said the unbelieving are not going to make it into heaven. It's very important that we be people that believe God. The Bible said Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him as righteousness. We need to believe God. That's Romans chapter 4 and verse number 3. Then he said, not only will the unbelieving and the fearful not make it into heaven, he said the abominable. You know, there's some folks that think they can do anything. Do anything. One evening I was watching some performers, musical performers, and they were just about to go out on stage, on TV, and perform. And their performance involved very bad language and involved very suggestive dance moves, but it showed them backstage praying a prayer to God, asking that God would bless their performance. People think they could do anything they want and then tag God a little bit and everything would be all right. But the abominable are not going to be in heaven. Murderers are not going to have a part in heaven. There's not going to be any homicides in heaven. And I know some of you say, well, I never killed anybody, so I should be all right there. But James talked about murdering somebody with your tongue. Not only will there be no unbelieving and no abominable, no murders, he said no whoremongers. Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 4, marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. But he said, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. And that word judge means that God will condemn. And condemned to a burning hell. A lot of folk think, well, if I do what I do and I don't, no one else really knows about it and I don't really hurt anybody, then and both of us are in agreement with what we're doing, then everything ought to be all right. Where did you get that from? If you're married, be true to God by being true to your spouse. Otherwise, God is going to judge. And you might be able to keep it from everybody else, but God knows. If you're single, be true to God by being true to yourself and God. It don't matter if you think that you can live together with somebody and y'all do it for expenses. God has given you instructions, and we need to live by, and those instructions, if I don't follow them, could cause me to miss my heavenly home. Not only did he say whoremongers, but sorcerers. You know, a lot of folks, they want to give credence to things that are magical and mystical. You don't need magical and mystical, just be faithful to God. Then he said, idolaters. Maybe you don't have a statue that you bow down before, but if there's anything that you're putting before your relationship with God, it's idolatry. Then he said, and all liars. You know, we live in a day and time of alternate truth. Well, people will say something and say, well, yeah, I said that, and it may not be exactly right, but it's just a way to capitalize what was done and say it in a different way. But the Bible said, all liars. Shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. He says, which is the second death. You see, church, I want to go to that city. I want to be have the experience of being in the very presence of God. I want to live in a city which is a city of light. I want to be a part of a city that, even though it has gates of pearl and streets of gold and a foundation that is of all kind of precious stones, my presence will add to the beauty and the glory of that city. I want to be a part of a city that is a safe city, that is open at all times, and I don't have to fear anything anymore because I'll be protected and there under the light of God himself. I want to be part of this city that was built according to code, a city that was designed before the very foundation of the world. And I want to be a part of a city that has also been designed for entrance. And I'm here to tell you that the beginning of entrance into that city is entrance into the Lord's church. Because Paul would say that one of these days he's going to present the church to himself as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. He's going to present it to himself. And the only way that I can have a hope of entering into that city, I must enter by way of the church. I'm not going to be able to sidestep the church and take my own route to the city. God is coming back. Jesus Christ is coming back to claim his bride. And his bride is a church. It is a glorious church. He wants it to be a church that's without spot or wrinkle. And the same people that make up this glorious church are the same individuals that are going to bring glory to that heavenly home. Glorious city. If you're here this morning, you're not a member of the Lord's church. As I stated, entry into heaven is going to begin with entry into the church. How do I get in the church? Hear the word of God. I've given it to you as simply as I possibly can. Believe the same. I told you how Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him as righteousness. And belief is not just a mental assent. Belief causes you to do something. Repent of your sin. I need to come to realization, I can't live my life the way that I once lived. I need to make a change. Amen. And as you repent, you confess the sweetest name that mortal tongue can confess. Amen. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I'm acknowledging that I believe in God. I believe in Christ. I believe in his church. And then as a show of my belief, I go down to the watery grave of baptism. I rise to walk in the newness of life. I'm added to the church. I'm added to the body. So one of these days when I close my eyes in death, I will have the opportunity to be escorted into that beautiful, glorious city, and my life will be able to enhance the beauty of that city. Oh, I'm looking forward to that day. Amen. I'm not saying it had to happen right now, but I'm looking forward to that day. And we need to all be looking forward. And as you're in the Lord's church, John was saying, Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10, be thou faithful unto death, and you'll receive a crown of life. It's important for us to continue to remain faithful, to one day be a part of that city. If you're here, you need to make a change in your life. If you're here and you need to be added to the church to have access, will one day go into the city. If you're here and you've not lived your life as one that is fitting for the Christian, won't you make a change in your life? Amen. Whatever the need may be, we ask you please come as we together stand and sing the song of encouragement.
876. Would